welcome to my podcast. Nice to have you guys here. I don't know who's listening to this, but if you are, hit me up. Hit me up on my Twitter, Instagram. I'll link that somewhere in the podcast notes, so you can go ahead and follow me. Tell me if everything's good on your end. I can only hear this from Anchor, which is where I am uploading this, creating this from. I recommend you guys check it out. It's free. But they're not even sponsoring this because they're just that good. They don't need to. This is actually a pretty cool app. And it's free, so why not? Anyway, before I get into everything, I just want to tell you what this podcast will be about. I just want to come on here and talk about Apple. Because, in my opinion, they are really good, successful, smart, and influential company. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people think that too, considering how many of them buy Apple products. So I just want to come in here and talk about that. I have a passion for Apple and I have a passion for tech. So yeah, this is episode one. Let's get into it. So the first topic, I just want to talk about Apple's status right now, because everybody thinks, let me rephrase that, most people think they aren't doing so well right now. Yes, they have a lot of money. Yes, they are the most influential in most people's minds. But are they actually doing good as a company? Because the smartphone market, that's slowing down. Buying cycles, refresh cycles, consumers aren't buying all that often. So how are they doing as a company, right? Because iPhones is the main source of the revenue. I feel like they have a huge iPhone problem. They can't make iPhones good enough for people to buy them every single year. And they can't make them bad enough where they have to upgrade every year. And Apple's kind of that company that wants to keep your products lasting, long lasting. That's the reason most people buy their products. They're good, reliable, and they last a very long time, so you don't have to buy them as often. But that's hurting Apple, because sales are going down. iPhone product sales are going down. That's a problem. That's not something that's easily dismissible. So Apple's gonna have to change something. Now, switching gears a little bit, they are doing good in some areas. As you may know, if you go to school, I do, I am a student. Everywhere I go, left and right, I see one common Apple product. Obviously, they already have the phone. What I see the most are AirPods and Apple Watches. iPads too, but for my school, it's a requirement, so I don't really count that as a everywhere. But their iPads are doing good too. The iPad has a lot going for it. It has the Apple Pencil that's working for it, because it's magnetic. You take the Apple Pencil, click it to the side of your iPad, and boom, so many things happen in a matter of seconds. It charges, it connects if it's not already connected, and it provides a convenient way for you to keep it with your iPad. The old Apple Pencil doesn't do that. And I'm not docking it. It's a really good product. Apple Pencil and the Apple Pencil 2. They're both really, really good. But I'm just saying the Pencil, the second generation, is really helping the iPad right now. Not that the iPad is a bad product, because it has Face ID. It has really good sounding speakers. It has USB Type-C. Something I don't have a lot of, but I know a lot of people who do, and it's a powerful port. It can do a lot of stuff for you. Just a thought. It has portrait mode on the front, not on the back, because I guess you don't need to take portrait photos with your iPad. If you have an iPad, you could just get a 10R and shoot portrait with that. You could do that. I'm just saying they didn't put that on the iPad, which is fine. Also, it has a really good design. It's square, which is nice because you can stand it up all on its own. And it's very lightweight. It doesn't feel heavy, which is very important when you're designing a tablet because if you have a heavy tablet, it discourages you from using it, which is a major issue, I feel. If it's too heavy, then you don't really want to use it. Breaking off from the iPad topic, something I also see a lot of are AirPods. AirPods. Backtrack. Just backtrack with me for a second. 2016. Apple releases AirPods. These new wireless headphones. Pretty simple. There was a couple of features that it came with. One, there were two separate earbuds that came with the charging case, which allowed you to listen. And then when you're not listening anymore or you're done listening, you put them in the charging case and it starts charging. That's also how you connect it. Connecting. They introduced a W1 chip, which allowed you to see your device with the pop-up. That was so intuitive, really helpful, and allowed you to see how easy it could be to pair something. When you open the case and hold the button near your iPhone or your iPad, it had this little pop-up that said connect. You hit connect and you're paired. Paired to your phone, paired to your iPad, paired to your Mac and your Apple Watch. And if you have one, iPod Touch. Who uses those things anymore? Anyway, it's linked to your Apple ID, which is the best feature they could have put in there. But it wasn't the best feature ever. The best feature, in my opinion, was the ear detection, which allowed you to take one out and the audio would pause because it's waiting for you to finish whatever you're doing. And then you put it right back in and it starts playing instantly. There is no lag, no latency, nothing. These headphones are the best. And that's why they're selling really good right now. They were joked around in the past, but now, in 2019, they're becoming a really good pair of headphones. In my opinion, beating out every other pair of headphones there are, except for one, but that's not really its fault. Noise cancellation headphones are really good, but AirPods can't do that because they're earbuds. Moving on to the second thing Apple has going for them, the Apple Watch. I don't know too much about the history of the Apple Watch because I didn't really follow it. Because what really caught my attention was Series 3 with cellular, because that was a complete package with cellular, with health tracking, with watchOS 4, which allowed for workouts. Not that the other ones didn't, but it became an actual product at that point, in my opinion. And it also enabled you to be free from your phone, which I just thought was amazing because I never have my phone with me. It's unbelievable. But the watch lets you, it can find it for you, or you could just take calls and text right on it. It's so cool and intuitive and works. And if you can't tell by now, the word for apple in my language translates to intuitive.
Because they really have thought of everything. And there is no fault or flaw majorly that I can see with this product. Because there isn't one. It's an intuitive product that helps everyone. Series 4 changed the ball game. I don't care that the screen got redesigned, although that looks cool. I don't care that the microphone is on the other side now, so the speakers are louder, although that's also really cool. My biggest concern is health, because my family has a heart problem history. And I know that's not any one person's particular fault, but it happens. Happens with mine, happens with others. And the ECG feature on the Apple Watch helps you detect irregular heart rhythm. This is so monumentally advanced and helpful. I don't know if you guys have done this before, but maybe I'm just too obsessed with Apple. I went on the internet, right, one day, and I searched up stories that helped people live after their Apple Watch told them they're having a problem. If you want, you can do the research yourself. There are so many stories, one after the next, after the next. Hey, I didn't feel too good, and then I collapsed. Fall detection, another great feature, helped me. That's true story. I've heard this story before. Fall detection, because they fell down too hard and they couldn't get up. It saves lives. It saves lives, and it also helps others know when they have a problem. I don't know anybody who would disagree with me on this. If you do, please, like I said, hit up my Twitter, hit up my Instagram, hit up my Snapchat. I'll put a link to that in the podcast notes wherever this is found. And we should talk. Because above everything else, whether you hate Apple, whether you love Apple, you cannot deny the fact that they have been pushing health in a good way, to help others, and it has actually saved lives. It saved mine. This isn't because of my heart problem or my family's heart problem. It was because I was getting sick one day and I didn't even know it. I'm sitting in class. Short story. I'll keep it brief. And I get a pop-up on my Apple Watch. You've been inactive for 10 minutes and your heart rate's above what I had it set to, 120? I ignored it. It came up three more times. Three, was it? Yeah, three. Three more times consecutively. And I was like, okay, something's going on. And by that time, I wasn't feeling too good. You could say yes. Oh, that was just, you thought you were having a problem. No, I actually was sick. I literally asked my father if I could go home, and I did. And I was just waiting till I felt better, and I was like, screw it. You know what? I gotta get up from this couch. I gotta go do something. I get up and I get so dizzy. Everything around me turns black. And I couldn't see a thing. I fell right back on the couch. And I didn't even know it. I thought I was perfectly fine after sitting on that couch for 3 hours. But my watch kept telling me, hey, your heart rate's a little too high. Like, calm down. What's going on? I had a screenshot somewhere. I had probably 50 alerts that day telling me that my heart rate was too high. I ended up sleeping on the couch that day, and I kept my Apple Watch on. I go on my phone the next day, the heart rate goes up to 200, and I'm not even exercising. Saves lives, people. So this topic of Apple doing good or bad. Their iPhones are good products, but they aren't good enough to upgrade every year. If you have a 10, why would you get a 10S or 10S Max? Unless you like the gold color. If you have a 7 Plus, why would you upgrade to the 8 Plus when those were the only models available? Upgrading from the 7 Plus to the 10, now that would have been good. But the difference with that was a design change. And that doesn't come around too often. That came around once every 10 years. Maybe iPhone 20, iPhone XX, X squared. Yes, I'm making fun of Apple's names right now. That might be a design change. But right now, there is no major reason to upgrade from the 10 to the 10S or 10S Max. And in my opinion, if you have a 10 and you're getting a 10R, don't. You have so many more features. Even though the 10R may look good and may sound better, it's not. It's actually worse. So anyway, that's the iPhone problem. But everything else for Apple that I discussed, iPads, AirPods, Apple Watch, those are good. So in my opinion, people who say Apple is doing bad, I say, yeah, kind of. Overall, I think the other products will carry them to the future. And you know they're working on something right now. AR glasses, whatever they're thinking over there in Cupertino. Those products will carry us to the future. I believe the iPhone is dying, but Apple isn't. Apple will carry us to the future. They will carry us to the future, and we will carry them to the future as consumers or people who buy their products. Anyway, that's my thoughts on Apple doing good or bad right now. And now I'm going to move into the next subject of still Apple. Sorry, I am beyond obsessed with them. I'm going to move into iPads more. And how do iPads help students? So play the second intro and I'll be right back. Although I didn't really go anywhere. Like I said, I'm making this podcast with Anchor, a really cool app. Go ahead, check it out. Again, not sponsoring me or anything. Just, that's how good they are. Anyway, we're going to talk about how does an iPad help a student. I'm a student. I'm not telling you where to go to school. But I am a student. And in many, many ways, the iPad has helped me with organization, with schoolwork, with studying, because it really is an all-in-one device. For instance, most students take notes, right? I have an iPad. I'm gonna take some notes on it. For those of you who don't know, I have an iPad 12.9 inch. It's the first generation Pro, and I have the Apple Pencil. I also have the smart keyboard case, but that is broken. So, rest in peace. I have Notability installed on my iPad, and you don't have to have that app. You could also go into the Notes app. And I take my pencil, and I write down everything that the teacher tells me to write down. In Notability, you can record the teacher's voice. And if you don't use Notability, you could just go to voice memos and record it that way. If you take notes on your iPad, they stay on your iPad. Obviously, that's the main reason you do it. But it eliminates the need to waste pencils or waste ink, pens, and paper on just taking simple notes that you probably won't look back until the final or the end of the semester. So why would you have all these papers around? It cluds your life. It's very hard to keep it organized. Believe me, I've tried. I've tried keeping notebooks. I've tried keeping binders. I have a binder, but it's hard to keep notes in there too. So I just have it all on my iPad. I have separate folders, and in notes, you can do this too. You can go to the folders and create a new folder. You can select where you want the folder and name it whatever you want. So I did that. I set that up for all my classes. And that is how I take notes. That's also how I get my schoolwork done. Because with the Notes app, you can scan, legit scan documents. Not taking a photo. Apple created artificial intelligence or created something. I don't know the backstory or how they did this. But you can scan documents. It will get the document and then you can write on it. They advertise this with their signing feature. They can sign for documents. I took that a step further. I get the document, I import it into Notes, and then I send it to Notability. You can do this from the Notes app too. I just find the way it writes a little bit weird on scanned documents. And I do my homework. If the teacher gives out a worksheet, I scan the document, do it all on my iPad. Why, you may ask? For one, it stays on my iPad. It doesn't go in some folder or go in some backpack that I can't find later down the road. Also, it allows me to turn it in online. I don't like Google as a company with their phones, which might be next episode. But Google Classroom is a good service. It lets me turn things in online, lets me see assignments, Quizlets, stuff like that. And I can turn in my homework that way. That's what I use it for mainly. And it's so, you ready for this? Intuitive of Apple to do this. To let you scan documents, write on documents, let you take notes with documents. I also use it for presentations. Because in Keynote, you can write on slides. You have presenter notes. You don't write with that, but you could type on that. And while you're presenting, and I haven't seen this anywhere else. And if you have, please let me know. You can write while you're presenting. So if somebody is wondering what they have a question on my slide, on my presentation, I can highlight it, I can circle it, underline it, write on it. I can do so many things while the presentation is going. Going more into Keynote, I do a ton of presentations. I just did a big one for my English class. And I'll give you the list of things I did with it. I shared the presentation, collaborated live with my partner. I added notes, pictures from photos, drag and drop. And if you don't know what that is, it's basically when you go to a website or the Photos app, hold on something and, ready for it, drag and drop into your presentation. None of this inserting stuff, which I use sometimes, but it's not intuitive enough. And I did the writing. I wrote on it. I wrote, these are some things that we did It was a presentation to travel across the world. This is what we did. This is what we took. And the Apple Pencil did that flawlessly. No latency, no lag. The pencil I have, the iPad I have, you have to charge it in the iPad, which is whatever. But you get an accessory where you could plug in a lightning cable to this dongle and then plug in the pencil. So it's not really plugging through your iPad. I do that sometimes, but the pencil's battery life is great. You can also charge it from your phone. Anybody else have a product who can do that? Plug in the lightning cable to your phone? Intuitive! You can see the battery percentage right on your iPad. It gives you notification when it has like 5% remaining, which is awesome. And it looks good. It's not terrible. It doesn't feel terrible. It doesn't feel cheap. Obviously, it's pricey, but Apple is pricey because Apple is good and they do good products, services, and intuitiveness with everything that they have. That's why all of their products are worth it. iPhones are too much, but it's actually worth it, in my opinion. If you can afford it, it is worth it. Obviously, if you can't, you shouldn't, like, rob a bank or something. iPad and Apple Pencil really do change your life. They change your life with notes, change it with a whole lot of other things. The smart keyboard case. Now, I haven't used that for a very long time. Because, as I told you, my iPad broke. So I switched to an OtterBox case. I tried going back to the smart keyboard. And there's this huge issue with it. Where it keeps saying this accessory is not supported. But, and I might go into my third topic with this. You can take it to an Apple store and have them fix it. Free. Did I mention go to an Apple store that's actually near you. And not some other store where you don't know where it is. Because I actually have one near me. It's not super close, but it's not super far either. It's only like 20 minutes away. And I go in there whenever I can, check out products. And I don't use my keyboard case anymore. But I asked them if they could fix it. They said no. I was like, aw. But that's because she wasn't finished. She said you could get a new one. Because they didn't, like, want to get in there and fix it, which I completely understand. So they just gave me a new one, under warranty and all that stuff. So I was like, hey, free case, let's go. You can also transfer PDFs to iPads. Did anybody think of that? You can transport it to other computers too, but you can't transport it via AirDrop, via mail drop, which is Apple's way of sending attachments that are too long for normal emailing. You can't text it in a group chat and interact with it in the chat. iMessage, basically. You can do a couple things in there. And iPads also sync with your phone. I'll get to that word in a minute, but the main point here is it's iOS on a bigger screen with the pencil makes it more accessible to everyone to do more, to take notes, all that fun stuff. And it is fun. It doesn't feel like a hassle. It doesn't feel like a problem. It works so intuitively. I need to get a t-shirt with that name on it, I swear. And you can text from it, you can call from it, you can receive calls from your iPhone to your iPad when it's within range of it, or a couple other things. Your AirPods are automatically synced to it. I play Game Pigeon with my sister. all the time, I send it from my iPad. I can also see it on my phone. Now, not Apple's fault, but I can't play on my phone too. That's a separate issue. Sorry, I'm a little bit sick right now. Game Pigeon is nice because I can play with her and I can also play on my phone at the same time. You may not think it, but it's actually pretty cool. Also, you can be texting multiple people at once. Just saying. You can have somebody texting your mom, for example, and you can be texting your dad at the same time. I don't know what situation that is, but I have used stuff like that before. My friend didn't have an Apple device to play Game Pigeon with, so I'm like, here, take my iPad. I'll use my phone. And now getting into another powerful tool of iPad. Not exclusive to iPad, but exclusive to Apple. Which makes it all the more intuitive. And I want to clarify, I'm not saying that, oh, everything is intuitive. Most things are. Like AirDrop. AirDrop is so powerful, guys. My teacher uses it on a daily basis. How do I get my homework assignment? AirDrop, everyone, homework assignment, PDF file in your notes app. Shares the note with everyone. And you get the note, and you get the homework, and you get the homework, and you get the homework, and you get the homework. He says that every day, by the way. And he clicks every single person. We all get the assignment. And that's how we get our homework. There's no waiting for it to send. There's no waiting for it to be received. It's instant. It's instant. Making it intuitive. I'll get a rhyme somewhere there. And you can't deny this fact that it's helpful. And it is not a pain, and it works so well. And I think that's at the core of Apple right now. They make everything work so well with all the other products they design. And of course, if you have an argument to this, I would love to hear it down in my Twitter, down in my Instagram. But just don't comment on my photos. Just, you know, DM me, whatever. I don't even care. And iPads, overall, they are so accessible to all users. Those with disabilities, they have features for them too. So Apple has thought of everything here. And iPads do help all students, obviously, who buy them and use them. I haven't heard one story of somebody who said, oh, my iPad is so terrible because it just doesn't help me at all. No, I haven't heard a single thing. There's nobody I've ever met who has said that to me. And I know a lot of people with iPads use them daily. I do all my homework on my iPad. Like, my mom keeps looking at me and says, don't you need pen and paper? And I'm like, welcome to 2019. Here, meet iPad. Obviously, that's a joke. She has met my iPad before. And now I want to bring this to the last subject. Apple stores. The physical and online store that they have. Because that's what we're talking about. Roll the intro. Apple stores are just so fun and exciting to visit. It is so awesome to go visit this place. And it may be part of this Apple ecosystem and keeping you in. But I don't even care because it is so fun to go there. For one, whenever there's a problem with my device, they never question it. I have met those companies, big companies, who I've chatted with online. Oh, well, how did that break? Oh, well, how did that get messed up? They ask zero how did that questions. They don't question you like you did something wrong. Because if you did do something wrong, obviously that's on you. But they don't care about finding out why. And honestly, Apple is too rich to care. They don't need the money. They don't need more funds to scrape together every dollar and find out how to skimp everywhere. No. They want to help you work with your products. Use your products. Play with your products. And that is really amazing that they can do that. That they don't have to worry about cost. Because I consider him my friend, although he probably doesn't know me at all. We've only met online. His name is Nick Answeeney. And it caught me. It was a little bit funny. Because you could have totally thought that this was made up. He went into an Apple store. And he said, "Hey, my eSIM isn't working with Verizon. And I think it's a physical problem. Can I get a new iPhone?" Listen to this very carefully. iPhone XS Max Gold 512 gigabytes. That is the most expensive iPhone right now. Let me check on that. From Apple, yeah. That's the most expensive iPhone. So, for him to just go up there, just ask for one, you'd probably think they'd be a little skeptical. You would be totally wrong if you thought that. Because they literally handed him a new one in 30 seconds. He was setting it up. If you don't believe me, go on Apple Podcasts, which might be where you're listening from. I don't judge you if you're not. Go to Apple Podcasts, and I think they're on SoundCloud too. Look up Talos of Tech Podcast. And go to the episode that says Surface Book 2. I think that's the right one. Let me check on that 1 second. Correction, it's the episode, it's called Fold, featuring iPad Pro, which honestly, they talk about iPads bending, which is a whole nother subject. Bottom line, get a case. Bottom line, stuff bends. Bottom line, that's so many bottom lines for someone here to be talking about. But there'd probably be an episode on that. And the bottom line for me was, they gave him a new iPhone. You have to listen 40 minutes in. And it basically just talks about, yeah, he had to sign something, but hey, he just got a brand new iPhone for free. And they didn't even question it. Because they're Apple. They don't need to question it. If you say your product's defective, then it must be defective because you told them so and they believe you. They have a level of trust in everyone. And honestly, I haven't met another company. Correction. The companies I have met who don't do that, that's very disappointing. Another reason why Apple stores are really fun and it doesn't make you feel bad. Oh, I broke my iPhone. Help me. It's a, hey, you know, my iPhone broke. Or my iPhone's eSIM, the eSIM wasn't working. And he thought it was a physical problem. So, my eSIM isn't working. Sure, sign here. 30 seconds later, new iPhone. And That's only half of it. Because the other half, and yes, I am going to go there, are the sessions that they have. Because they also help. My grandma is probably 80 years old around now. I haven't asked her her age. It's kind of rude to do that. She's around 80 years old. And she has an iPhone. She has an iPhone 6. She doesn't want to upgrade. And she didn't understand how to use it. I tried my best, but you can only help somebody so much. And then they try to listen, but they just can't because she's too old. So I took her to one of those Apple sessions, basics iPhone. I kid you not, that was a literal godsend because it helped me, her, and her husband so much that she now knows how to use her iPhone. She knows how to text, knows how to make calls, and I will never forget that. I will never forget how helpful they were to us. Another reason why Apple stores are really awesome. They also let you demo the products. Now, hey Jay, that's not new. All companies let you do that. Yeah, they do. What Apple makes it so intuitive, it's you can stay here, play with it as long as you want. We're here to help. We're here to answer any questions if you have any. In the back, we have a section if you want to fix your products. They also have a ton of products in stock there at the store, which is really cool too. And I just love going in there and playing with everything. Hey, can I get an AirPods demo? Sure. They gave me an AirPods demo. This was before I had AirPods. And it was so, so easy and seamless. And Apple gets rid of all that complication. And that's why I feel like Apple stores are truly the best. And lastly, to sum everything up, they're here to help. I get people thinking they want to screw you over, but they're here to help. They help you with privacy. They protect all of your data. And I know people out there talking about the recent FaceTime bug that happened that let you listen in, but that was just it, a bug. That wasn't their fault that they didn't discover that earlier. And it is their fault that there was a bug. But people hate on them that, oh, they should have fixed it sooner. They didn't know about it sooner, most likely. And because I'm not in direct contact with them, so I wouldn't know. But this is what I've heard. They didn't know about it before. Because we didn't know about it before. They heard it from the media, from a teenager, 14 years old, FaceTimed someone, and then FaceTimed themselves in, and found the glitch. And that was just it, a glitch. They do protect your privacy. They do protect you, your identity. Facebook doesn't. Google doesn't. And that's really concerning to most people who keep saying, oh, I want to be protected privacy-wise. And then somebody tells them to get an iPhone. Not joking, this has happened in my life. I've told somebody, oh, just get an iPhone. Yeah, it protects your privacy and you can see what's being shared. And they told me it was the best thing they could have done because they didn't want somebody knowing where they were, so they just turned off location services. And they found really hard to do that on Android. Because it's so diverse, you can't plan one device for the operating system, you have to plan multiple devices for that operating system. And they don't protect your privacy. Android doesn't. Doesn't protect your identity, doesn't protect your location, nothing. And that's why most people go the Apple route, because it protects you. Plain and simple. Also, once you get to know it a little better, yeah, good hardware, good software, integration, AirDrop, AirPlay. There are so many features that I could just list off that Apple ties in with software. And it's free. Android is free. Yeah, Android's free. I'm just making the point that it's free. You don't have to pay for it. Who knows? Google could start charging for Android any day soon. But Apple ties all this technology together. Like I mentioned before, I can text from my iPad and from my phone. And I can jump on my Mac and text from there too. They give you so many tools and so much integration, and it's so, you knew this was coming. Intuitive. I'm sorry, I didn't say that right.
Intuitive.
For everything. And that's how Apple rolls. You could get on and live a better life. Or if you think your life is great right now, great. Just jump on for like 2 seconds and try it out. Trust me, you will be surprised. Anyway, that's the end of the show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. This is my first show, and I literally just went off the cuff for most of this. And if you have any suggestions, any ideas, I will link my Instagram, I'll link my Twitter. I'll actually say my Twitter right now. Are you ready for it? It's a really long, weird name. And please, if you can change your Twitter name, like your username, DM me. Hit me up everywhere, anywhere. Please, I need to change this. It is so bad. It's JAY, capital PAND. AND is lowercase. And here's the funny part. 86604644. Yeah, I don't know how that happened. I honestly have no idea how that happened. And my Instagram, it's just JAY_panda6. And maybe you guys saw the title. I actually do have 6 fingers, fun fact, on my left and right hands, which is actually pretty cool. I don't know if it adds any functional features, but it's pretty cool, you know? It's like a really nice addition that, hey, I have this and you don't. It's not like that. It's more, hey, check this out. This is pretty cool, right? It is cool. I feel it's cool. And hey, if enough people listen to this, I will actually tell you the rest of extra body parts I have, because you will not believe what they are. I will probably amaze you. But that's the end of this, guys. Stick around to the end, because I'm going to try to put a sponsorship there. I'm just testing all this out to see what's what. Again, huge shout out to Anchor, even though they're not sponsoring this, and I wouldn't ask them to, that check out this app. I literally made this in an hour, and it's so easy to use. Anyway, check it out. See you guys in the next one. Peace.